Hey guys, it's Mike with the Daily BM. This episode, we have a very special guest, and I think you're going to enjoy what he has to say. So stay tuned and listen. Please like and subscribe, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Hey, good morning, fuckers, and welcome to another day at the Daily BM. I got Mikey with me in the house today. Mikey, what's going on, man?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. So glad to be here.
Oh, you sound it. You sound like you're really excited to be back on the show again after we missed last week because we just forgot to record. That was a first for us, man. We'd never do that kind of stuff.
We could probably talk about that in a little bit, but why don't you go ahead and introduce our special guest on this episode? Don't keep the man waiting.
Yeah, we have the most awesome guy on the show with us today, man. And reading his profile was just, I laughed the whole entire time. We have Oris with us. Oris, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. Lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, what you got going on then, man? Why don't you just spit it out? Let's hear it.
My birthday is tomorrow. And so we've got some plans for that. And my wife's got some things planned. And so that's good. It's always good.
Yeah. So you know what you're doing yet? Or is she saying it's going to be a surprise?
It's going to be a surprise.
I see Mike's face. Chicka bow wow, chicka bow wow.
Brad always goes there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we'll start with the morning. We'll start with that.
Nice. See, that's a good marriage.
Yeah, that is a really good marriage right there, man. The morning's going to start with that. I got to take care of her. I get it. How long have you guys been married?
32 years.
Man, so what's the secret?
One of the things is, and actually this is part of my coaching, the last module is how to get laid more frequently without begging.
I love you already, man.
Sold.
Hold on. I need to get a pen. I'm taking fucking notes right now. All right. How to get laid more frequently. All right. Go.
Yeah, that's definitely it's a pay to play situation.
that's what's going on.
That's just a clickbait out there. That's just a clickbait out there. So what's the key is to, one is communication. Two is knowing that there are times that I'm the primary person in the relationship. There are times that she's the primary person in the relationship. I got a badass businesswoman for a wife, and there are other times that it's both of us as a couple are important. And so that. And the other thing is, I guess there's an expression about keeping it fresh. I mean, guys got to be on the hunt all the time. You got to be on the hunt all the time. And what happens in marriages is that guys take shit for granted. They think because they got a license, that's a license to screw. No, it's not. So they start taking things for granted. And the next thing you know, they get in a rut. Kids show up. I did this whole thing on the no sex marriage. I got a webinar on that. And basically what happens is when you start having kids, you know, it's all really great. And the next thing you know, they're coming in your bed in the morning. And of course that kills anything. You know, and then there's this pattern involved, and then all of a sudden you're out of the loop and no one's used to having any sort of intimacy. And then it gets worse and worse and worse. And, you know, she's tired, you're tired, you get pissed off. Three things never to say to a woman if you want more intimacy. Okay. You might want to write these down.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. I'm sitting here. I'm taking notes. Okay. Trust me.
Okay. The first one is I want more sex.
I want more. Hey, that sounds familiar, doesn't it, Mike?
Yeah. And the second one is I want more sex. I think you can figure out what the third one is.
I want more sex.
yeah. And what you're saying and what she's hearing are two different things. Okay. What she's hearing is that let me use your vagina for a few minutes, and after I'm done, you can have it back. It's a little used, a little wet, but you can have it back. It's yours. But I just want to use it for just a few minutes. and so that's what she's hearing when guys say I want more sex.
I don't see the problem. I don't see a disconnect here.
Well, I mean, it's not like you're not accurate.
That sounds like effective communication.
No, I guarantee you, it's not.
Well, obviously, it's not working.
Because you don't get the result you want.
Yeah, exactly. My direct communication is not working.
Yeah. But that's really what they're
oh,
hearing.
Oh my God.
And so it's kind of like, again, I'm going to go back to that thing about being in the hunt.
Okay.
You know, flirt, have fun, grab her ass every once in a while. Whatever. Get up next to her and kiss her on the back of her neck. That kind of stuff sets the tone. Okay, just put these little things. It's fun. It's fun being in the hunt.
Hell yeah! I mean, anytime you're in the hunt, man, it's an awesome feeling.
Yeah.
I think the problem that some men, and I don't know about Mike, but you know, because we do talk a lot, but the reality is, what do you do when that flirting and you're in that hunt mode, and then you're not getting there's no reciprocation on that hunt, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's not going to be a one-on-one. Okay. It's not going to be, you know, just because you do, you flirt, you're not all of a sudden not going to have sex on the kitchen counter. Okay. You know, it's just not going to happen. All especially, right, especially if there's kids involved and there's breakfast on the table. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. You can have fun with food. What are you talking about? Come on now.
Well, you can, but not with the kids in the room. And so that's not going to happen. And so it's not a one for one. I think there's a lot of times people expect too much. And the whole issue, the whole thing that I encounter in my coaching is that it really depends on where you start. Okay. If you're having sex once a week, it's easy to get to 2-3 times a week. Mm-hmm. If you're having sex once a month, it's a little bit more of a challenge. Let's move from once a month to once a week and then build up to that. And if you're having sex every year or less, which a lot of guys do, then there's a whole series of stuff that needs to happen, and it's going to take a long time to fix that. It's not going to be fixed by talking about it. Okay, that's the other thing people think about. Oh, we can just talk through. Now, what I look for in myself, in others, and I teach my coaching is action. What actions do you take on a consistent daily basis or a consistent weekly basis or whatever? So, in 2024, every asshole knows what to say. You know, there's no doubt about it. Everyone knows what to say on job interviews, in relationships, or whatever. But do they follow it up with action? And the answer is the vast majority of time is no. The vast majority of time it's no. And so, What a woman is looking for is a certain security in terms of your actions on a consistent daily basis. Okay. So there are certain things that I do religiously. I've been doing them for a long time. I'll give you one tip. Are you guys married?
Yes.
Not together.
Yes.
I know. Brad and Mike, are you guys married together?
Unfortunately, we're not married together.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're totally not married together, and we make the greatest couple ever.
It'd be the most sexless marriage, but it'd be a great marriage.
Yeah. Speak for yourself.
You're married, Mike?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And Brad, you're married?
Yes, sir.
How is this first marriage or second marriage or third marriage or fourth
this
marriage?
This would be for me.
Yeah, third for Mike, second for me.
Okay. And how long have you been married the third time around, Mike?
4 years. Going on 4 years next month, November the 8th.
Okay, and how many times was she married?
Once.
Okay, so she divorced once. And you, correct. Mike, how long have you been married second time?
Four years.
No, Brad.
I've been married for 5, and I was 17 years before that for my first wife.
Okay, all right. So it's a interesting thing is that I forgot where I was going with this now. the statistics are actually not very good for you guys. Simply because that couples that have had divorces are more likely to have divorces again.
Mm-hmm.
That's because a divorce the first time is a big fucking deal.
Yes, you know, right.
It's,
scary.
Like, it's It's the second time, not so bad. Three times, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you have a generic picture of yourself that you can slip in a different wife, you know, Photoshop her in. And so
Photoshop her in.
Yeah. or out. Right. It's a little thing. But let me tell you one thing I know where I was going roundabout. Okay. One of the things that I've been doing I've been married for 32 years, been probably close to 30 years I've been doing this. And I do it every other week is I go to the grocery store and I buy a dozen red roses, cut them at the end at an angle, put them in a vase, put in that powder they gave you, put in also some vodka and sugar because that makes them last longer.
Yep.
And I give them to my wife. And she really appreciated it. It doesn't mean that we're going to have sex right there. You know, as soon as I bring the flowers home, that's not how it's going to work. But I keep on making deposits and it's real easy. And, you know, it's an easy thing to do. It's cheap. You know, Trader Joe's $10.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For a dozen red roses. But I coach my clients to put that in their calendar as a recurring appointment. So it's so reminding because I it's a habit now for me. I mean, I just kind of I've been doing it for so long. And but I remember a cash register once who goes, "Oh, you must be yeah, and do it on a weekday. Do it on a weekday." You know, it's like Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock and I'm in the supermarket buying red roses. She goes, "Oh, you must have really screwed up." I go, "No."
Yeah. On the contrary.
So that kind of consistent daily action puts in a lot basically says that you care and you care enough to go to the store and pick something up. It's not a big deal to go to the store. You're buying other shit there too anyway. So it's not that big of a deal. And for God's sake, don't give her the flowers to put in a vase. I have a friend of mine did that and I just looked at him and go, "You just gave your wife a fucking job."
Yeah.
He buys the flowers and brings them home. You give them to her and put in the vase, he goes, "Well, I don't know how to do it." Give me a break. It's like fucking YouTube flowers. It's not brain surgery.
Yeah, YouTube it. Yeah.
So I had a question on that. So because that's something that I do regularly, almost. I was doing it on a weekly basis, but this is what I discovered, and this is just my circumstance. In the very beginning, it was like appreciated, but then after 12 months, all of a sudden it became not that big of a deal. And then I remember like one week, the store didn't have any good flowers. Like they were just out. They just got a bad shipment. So I didn't bring them home. And she was like, "What, no flowers this week?" And I was like, "Yeah, they didn't have any. I'll, you know, next time I go to the store." And it was like a negative. And I was like, why is it now like not, like, why is it taken for granted? Or does that happen to you? Or is it just, like if you don't have flowers.
First of all, I do it every other week because roses die in about 5 to 7 days and they get thrown away and then they get replenished. I would suspect that maybe, first of all, you should have just taken credit for like, "Hey, I went to the store, but there weren't any good flowers."
Right.
Or we just made that announcement.
Which is what I told her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But my suspicion is, Mike, is that it is appreciated, but just not overtly. You know, I think it's kind of, you're right, there's a certain amount of habit. My wife always says thank you, and I do stuff. I like hide it in places so she doesn't find it, and then they magically appear, and I always put them on the nightstand. Mm-hmm. Put the fucking flowers on the nightstand.
Okay.
That's a subliminal messaging. Red roses that's on good. The nightstand.
Yeah, because I always put them on the counter in the kitchen when she sees them when she comes in. And then, you know, like the other day, like I know she loves the holidays and she loves the pumpkin spice smell. So I brought one of those pumpkin spice brooms and I hung it by the door. So when she walked in, it smelled at the house, smelled of pumpkin spice, and it made her happy. But then she proceeded to get mad at me for something else. It was still a sexless night, damn it. It was still a sexless night. And I don't know what we're wrong. Yeah. I'm going to sign up for class as soon as this is over.
You were having sex, but she wasn't in the room.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that. Yeah. There's a lot of that. It's a lot of Mission Impossible. Solo. I go rogue. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. Cause, you know, that's one of the things I prescribe to is like doing all the little daily actions to Let them know you love them. Mm-hmm. Like every morning I make her a cup of coffee. And ever since she had COVID, coffee doesn't taste the same. So every morning she's like, this doesn't taste good. And I'm like, do you want something different? She's like, no, I like that it's warm. And I'm like, okay. But it makes me feel resentful sometimes. Because I'm like, hey, yeah. I'm going through all this extra effort. And like, what are you doing for me?
So I guess how would you get out of that train of thought?
Yeah, how do you get out of that train of thought? You just do it.
I think that, one, have no expectations of when you do shit.
That's kind of my thing
is not to have any expectations. And that's what I tell, that's what I coach men on. Don't have any expectations. And as I said, depending on where you're starting from, have realistic expectations. You know, people that go, oh, I can get you to do this in 3 weeks or whatever. I go, bullshit.
Right.
Bullshit. You're not gonna. Yeah, and you know. And then there's the other thing, you know, about the flowers is like on Valentine's Day, we skip all the. I shouldn't say all of them. We do Mother's Day, we do Father's Day, but we don't go out really. But we skip Valentine's Day. Talk about you know that Hallmark holiday is the most. You see guys in the supermarket, you know, spending $30 for a dozen roses that cost 10 a week ago.
Yep,
buying some chocolate. And thinking that them being an asshole for all year is going to be negated by that,
right.
those purchases. And then they top it off with a price fixed meal at an overpriced restaurant. It's a horrible holiday. It's a horrible time to go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. I mean, we never go out to dinner.
I guess what aggravates me though, is you see these women like that, they're in that situation where their husband's like an asshole year round. And then on that one day, he goes out of his way, and then she blasts it all over her social media. She's like, I am in love with this man. He's the best man on the planet. And you listen to these assholes talk, and they're like living their best life. Like their woman bends over backwards for him. I know what you see is not reality very often, but I don't know. Just. It gets frustrating sometimes because, I don't know, Brad, do you feel that way?
People lie all the time. Especially in my coaching business, first thing people do is lie. They mm-hmm. lie to me. They lie to themselves. They say everything's going really great. Then why'd you reach out to me?
Yeah.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
If it's so great. And then, you know, we get into it like, okay, oh yeah, our intimacy is pretty good. Okay. So I have conversations with men that they would never have with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get right down to, I'm a very much about numbers and getting results. And so alas, I'm like, how often do you have sex? Once a month.
You want to go first? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't mind. I'm sure? Book.
Are you sure it's once a month? When was the last time? 6 weeks ago. I guess it's not once a month.
See, I'll interject here. You know, like myself, I don't mind freaking saying it. You know, there's sometimes where it's once a month. There's sometimes where it's, you know, twice a week, you know, and then it falls back on. Sometimes it might even not be 2 months. You know what I mean? We're all over the place on the map with it. I don't know if that's the norm or if that's just trying to pinpoint it or what.
Yeah, Brad, if that works for you, great. But a lot of I know a lot of men want some more consistency to it. Mm-hmm. If that works for you guys, that's great. But for a lot of guys, I mean, I'll include it. I kind of like it about twice, maybe three times a week. And that's kind of my sweet spot. And my wife's too. So we seem to be in that range. And that's sometimes it's like a 12 course meal, and other times it's like a drive through.
Yeah,
yeah. I was about to say that most of the time on me, so it's kind of like ED issues and things like that. You know, you play those roles as you age. You know, in some ways, some people get it, some people don't. You know, and that can play into a guy's head too. No pun intended. As well, as far as, am I going to be able to function tonight, you know, and things of that nature. Yeah. So I could see where like certain men might get frustrated because they're like, oh my God, am I going to be able to perform tonight to get this done? You know,
I totally understand. I mean, I had ED issues.
right,
was able to deal with them. But the worst part about ED is it doesn't just affect the man, but affects the woman in the relationship, because she's sitting there wondering, does he, you know, and they're usually, you know, put on a few pounds, got a few more wrinkles, things like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wondering, like, does he not find me attractive?
Correct.
Does he not want me? Is he not in love with me? What am I doing wrong? Why can't I get him aroused? And then the last one is, how much porn is he watching? Or is he having an affair?
Oh,
you know, all these things are going through a woman's head when her husband, I'm going to use the word husband, has ED. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a lot of time talking about ED and what the cures are and things like that. But there's several of them that are out there outside of the pills, which work for a while. And then next thing you know, you're upping the dosage all the time.
Right.
And right. And so then it gets to the point of like, okay. And then heaven forbid you have too many drinks or one of you falls asleep, mm-hmm. and the window of opportunity is closed.
Yeah.
See, Cialis is a 24 or 48 hour med, mm-hmm. but the other ones are like 4 hours or whatever, you know, and it's kind of like,
right.
Yeah. So the window.
Turn you into a Louisville slugger for 4 hours and then, you know, then you're back down to a T-ball bat. You know, I get it. Yeah. Trust me. Yeah.
Wet noodle.
Pool noodle.
Coming, you know. A pool noodle.
Pool noodles. If we could only dream. But no, so, if you don't mind, I would kind of like you to, no pun again, but I'd like you to touch on the EDE thing a little bit, like some cures that could help some guys out there that maybe wouldn't know certain things.
Let me just look this up for a second. I'm scrolling because I thought that might be a question here.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things. There are pelvic floor exercises mm-hmm. that you can do. And let me just double check this. That works sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also a sonic wave device.
Ooh, really?
Technology. Rectal stimulation.
Yeah, not quite. Not quite. Quite.
Mike, I believed you that one time. I'm not believing you with that anymore. I mean, you tried that on me years ago, and I actually bit into it, and then he was like, how's that feel? And I was like, I'm still not, it's not working. So
sound wave therapy.
So not that kind. Yeah. Not that kind.
I found it.
I just lost your picture and I don't know how to get it back.
I don't know if it's that important to get back.
Yeah, I guess you could just listen to us.
Okay. Well, shit. How did I do that? How did I fuck it up like that?
We say that on the daily.
I know where it is. Okay, there you go. I found you again. Okay.
Right.
So acoustic wave therapy. You may have heard ads for this on the radio.
Oh, okay.
They call it shockwave therapy and things like that. And what they do is acoustic wave therapy has been around for ages. I mean, it's over 30 plus years technology. It's not, it's not new technology at all. And what it does is that it increases the blood flow. It increases the number of blood vessels to the particular area that you use it on.
Okay.
And it used to be very, very expensive. Gainswave was the number one in office with doctors acoustic wave device. And that used to be anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000.
Jesus. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's an expensive erection.
Pardon me?
I said, that's an expensive erection.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, obviously it doesn't work for everyone.
Right.
So it would take several visits, about, you know, anywhere from 6 to 12 visits. And so this company, well, actually, I met the owner and developer of this at-home device. And they had a clinic in Century City, California, where they did a regenerative therapy. I spent a lot of time in the anti-aging space. And So they had this thing. They got into a legal battle because if they had the Gainswave machine in their office, they couldn't have a computing device, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, Gainswave realized that somebody else is going to come along with a at-home device.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they partnered with this guy, and they have an at-home device that puts out the same acoustic signal, relatively same acoustic signal, as the in-office device. And Gainswave, the company that used to have the in-office device, partnered with them to sell that device, a version of that device, through their doctors. Okay.
Okay.
So obviously they wouldn't be doing that. But if you go to the standard.academy/Phoenix.
Okay.
The standard.academy/Phoenix, you can see the product there. It's like $700 or $800. And they run specials all the damn time on this thing. And so you do this at home. It's louder than fuck. It's really loud. it sounds like a little jackhammer. There's no pain or anything like that, but it sounds like a little jackhammer. But it works really well. It works well.
You point it at your penis? I mean, or how does
you run up and down? You run up and down.
Well, Mike's laughing at me, but I was like, okay, you said acoustic sound wave. So I was like, so is it like you pointed at it kind of like music or you, it's an
no,
actual
no,
device?
No, 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 no. You actually put running up and down on six sides of your penis. Okay. And so, so there's a whole tutorial about how to use it and all that stuff. And then there's a timeout because you don't want to use it too often. Because if you do it, then it doesn't really work. But the other thing I found that's really useful for, is if you have soft tissue injuries. I lift heavy. I mean, I'm a power lifter. Even at age 72,
really?
I'm a power lifter. Yeah, I mean,
awesome.
I'm working my way back up to 100-pound dumbbell presses.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Badass.
So I get a lot of aches, and I basically use that on my muscles, on my bicep. Usually, most of the time, it's on my bicep tendons. And it really helps increase the blood flow to those, because a soft tissue is really hard to get blood flow to heal to a tendon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Right. And so that's where that really works. Now the other option, that's option number one. Option number one was the Kegel exercises, which I'm not a big fan of that. That's just, I don't know, this is a lot of work. The Phoenix is actually a great thing. And let me plug it again, www.thestandard.academy/Phoenix. So we do that. And then that works. And then there's the other option that has like a 99% success rate is Go Bionic.
What is it?
Bionic.
Basically, they put in some
inflatable
stuff into your dick, and you're inflatable.
They put some stuff into your dick, and it's inflatable. I love it. Layman's terms, right there.
it's basically a pump, and it's a for sure thing. I mean, it's a 99% successful. There's very few medical procedures that are 99% successful.
So let me ask you something. So is it like based, okay, and this is going to sound pretty fucked up, but do you like literally just press a button and it starts going off? And like,
well, you have a little bump. You have a pump.
Is it blood that it pumps in, or is it?
No. Like, it's got reservoir fluid.
Reservoir fluid. Okay.
Oh, yeah, no shit.
So it's a hydraulic penis. Basically.
You got a hydraulic dick. I love it, man.
You're bionic.
Bionic
dick. So, Mike, I can only imagine you walk in the room and you start going, squeezing the pump, and you go, no, 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 no,
no. See, this is why we don't get laid, Brad, because we can't be serious. Like, that's the problem, you know?
Really? Really? Yeah, that is true. I mean, I'll walk in with a towel on it, you know?
I can't, you know? Like, I can't see my wife's boobs, and I go, boobies! I'm getting all excited and smiling. I'm like, boobies! Yay!
Like a kid getting ready to nurse.
She's like, go away, child.
Yeah. So I think, you know, for your listeners, probably the first stop is the acoustic wave device. And then the other one is much more invasive.
Yeah, sounds like
but it also works really well. I mean, it's like I said, 99%.
So doctor, how is it with sensitivity though? I mean, is it like when you get that, let's say the bionic.
Really? Doesn't affect your sensitivity at all.
And what's the average cost of that procedure? And is it coverable on insurance?
I don't know about insurance, but I was happy to find out. Medicare covers it.
$65. Yeah, baby.
He goes, I was happy to find out. Medicare covers it, though.
only a couple more years for you, Brad. You get it for free.
Yeah, it depends on where you depends on your zip code, but I think my doctor, if you weren't having insurance, it was about $15,000.
$15,000.
Wow. Yeah.
I better get at least 15 tries with that thing. That's all I'm going to say. $1,000 a pop. Yeah, no,
wow.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. Yeah. So, like I said, for your listeners, probably the first step is try an acoustic wave device. It's a lot. It's not as invasive, and it's obviously quite a bit less expensive.
Moving past, you know, you were talking about, said that you did, you're getting back into heavy lifting. I mean, so you were doing bodybuilding at some point?
No, I've never powerlifting.
Just powerlifting.
I am trying to reshape my body now.
Right.
I've lost about 16, 17 pounds. I want to do another 10 pounds and then I'm going to focus on putting muscle on. I'm quite a bit thinner than I was even six, 8 weeks ago.
That's awesome.
I had man boobs and I didn't like it.
Right.
That's us too.
We did the same thing, man. We were having that problem too. Mike's lost like 50 some odd pounds. You know, I've dropped 30 myself, but we're kind of plateauing a little bit. So we're trying to get that little bit back off, you know, by lifting more.
I'm doing it with intermittent fasting and just really calorie. Cause I don't, I found that what, and also I don't do any carbs. Unfortunately there's in vodka and scotch, there's no carbs. So I'm good there. That was very important. That was a very important thing to realize that there was no. But once I cut the wine out, it was easy. It was easier to shed the pounds. But it is. How old are you guys?
I'm 48. Brad is about to be 52.
50, I'll be 54. Correct.
Oh, 50. Oh, I thought you were 52. Damn. Okay. Nope, 54.
I gotta
redo my calculation then. Cause I thought you were that. Yeah. 22 years left.
This guy, I'll tell you what.
So, you know, one of the things I talk to men about a lot, is, testosterone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cause I've been on testosterone for over 25 years.
Oh, see, we both started
way before it even became popular. I mean, now, you know, you got all these, T-mills that they get you in there and they give you testosterone and then they sell you a bunch of other shit that you don't need.
Yeah.
Because testosterone's pretty cheap. It actually is very cheap. Mm. So especially if you get directly from the compounding pharmacy.
Yeah.
Right.
And my doctor making so much money that he doesn't mark it up at all. He just like here, take this prescription to there, and they'll give it to you. But most men suffer from low testosterone.
Yes, we both did.
You guys are on T. Yep.
Yes, we're on TRT.
Yeah, we both started on TRT. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Game changer, 100%.
Yeah.
It's hard to convince men about that. I know people that like ask me, and some of them are assholes because the same person will ask me the same question three times, and I told them, and I actually got to the point where like I already told you, they get all like I already told you what you need to do,
right?
Don't ask me again. Like, I'm gonna start charging you if you start asking me again.
Yeah.
To talk to
charge you every time I have to mention it. Mike's dying over here with the asshole. He's never
that's
heard that,
new,
I guess.
That's my new favorite expression.
You've never heard that expression?
No.
That's been around for ages.
Yeah, it's been around a long time. That's why I laughed.
I have so many people in my life that are like that ask the same thing over and over and over again. And it's like, they're just assholes. I love that.
Yeah.
Listen up, asshole.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who he told me a problem, and then 3 months later, and I told him what to do. And 3 months later, he's telling me the same problem, except it went from a $50,000 problem to $250,000 problem.
Ooh.
And I'm going like, I already told you what to do. Why didn't you do it? And then I said, okay, this is the deal. I'm gonna tell you one more time, but this is what you need to do. If you don't do what I tell you by 6 o'clock today, you will pay me $10,000. He goes, well, that's a lot of money.
Right.
I go, well, if you plan on doing it, you don't have to pay. But if you're just, going through emotions and like, don't fucking bother me. And he agreed to it. And then, of course, he got done. Like, after we got done, he called me half an hour after we ended our meeting to tell me he got done.
Yeah.
That's good. He didn't want to pay that $10,000 is what it would have boiled down to.
Yeah.
Hey, one other thing real quick before we start asking more about the TRT, I just want to get back to the heavy lifting and you're training for a Spartan race, I see.
I was, and I'm trying to get back into it. As soon as the weather cools down a little bit, call me a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, which I am, and most of us who have been conspiracy theorists turned out to be correct. Hunter Biden's laptop is real. COVID did start in a lab in Wuhan, among other things. The only person
that UFOs do exist.
The only person that colluded with Russia was Hillary on the Steele dossier. So all those conspiracy theories, and we would never have found out unless Elon Musk had bought Twitter and exposed them all. Now they're all running for the fucking hills. You were asking me, I got off on a tangent here.
No, you're good, man. I was just letting you go, man. You're good. I was asking about Spartan Race because we're doing one in December. I was going to go, hey, you've got a few months. You could train and come down here and meet us down here in Florida. Just saying.
Yeah. So this is my long, sad story. I got the third booster, and all of a sudden my cardio capacity was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't run more than 10 minutes.
Yep.
And so I had my heart looked at, I had my lungs looked at, no one could give me an answer. And about 9 months ago, I had some stem cell therapy done IV. And when the weather cools down, I'm going to see how I do on running.
Okay.
Let's see what I can do it. Cause like I said, I was running an hour easily. Mm-hmm. I've done a couple of marathons, not recently, climbed up Mount Kilimanjaro. Hiked with my daughter in the mountains in Iceland, and also in the up and down hills in New Zealand with my other daughter, carrying 50-pound packs and all that shit. That was like 6 years ago, years ago, right before it was actually the last Christmas before COVID, and it was like I was able to do all that shit, and now I noticed that I was really huffing and puffing when I was lifting. And since I had the stem cell IV, I'm not huffing and puffing as much as I used to. I used to get really winded lifting, and more so than I ever had in the past. So we'll see.
Yeah. See, we were very fortunate. Like, for instance, Mike took the Johnson & Johnson because he had to. His reasoning's a little bit. He went to the Hall of Fame game for the NFL
NFL draft, and everyone NFL had to have draft, COVID
yeah,
shots.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, so they required you to have a COVID shot in order to attend, so he had to take one because he wasn't going to take one. And then I took the Pfizer first one. I didn't do any of the boosters. So I've been fine, as far as my health. I did, after that, I did kind of feel a little weird. I mean, I don't know about you, Mike, on your Johnson & Johnson, but I didn't feel 100% like I was back in 2019,
Yeah.
So.
I felt
a little bit off for a little bit.
Yeah, I did it. My kids wanted me to do it, and I did it to please them. I regret that I did that. Whatever.
Yeah, I felt like my cardio performance went down for sure for some reason after that vaccination, and my mood. I felt like my mood was different too.
Yeah.
So back to the TRT. For instance, I started. I noticed that I was turning into a bigger asshole than I already am when I first started taking it. But I was really taking one dose at a time, and I noticed I was getting spiking levels. Like I'm liking,
right.
and I was up in like that 1200 category, red blood cells. So I knew. So the guy backed me off. But then I started microdosing. I don't know if you know that term or not, where you microdose every 3 days.
I
have felt a big difference in that as far as for me.
Well, the reason for that is, Brad, the half-life of testosterone cyprinate is 8 to 10 days. So if you're doing it weekly, by day eight, you're at half the blood level. So I take mine twice a day. Twice a week. I do it on Sunday and I do it on Monday. And and so that just keeps me real level throughout the whole week because I never really go up and I never really go down. But you hear some doctors go like, oh, every 2 weeks. I go, are you fucking kidding me? You want to put a guy on a roller coaster, on a hormonal roller coaster? Give him testosterone every 2 weeks. I don't know if that's – I think it'd probably be worse than not having any at all.
Yeah, my first doctor wanted to do monthly, which I thought was insane. But, I mean, my experience was horrible because I had a doctor that was just – he just – I don't know. All his answers were there's a pill for that or a shot.
Sure.
I was pre-diabetic. My cholesterol was borderline. And he's like, oh, it's just part of getting old. Like, that's just, we got pills for that and we got shots. And my testosterone was like down to 165. And he's like, well, for a guy your age, this is at 45. He was like, at 165, he's like, well, let's just retest it in 6 months because that's not really that far off the normal. And I was like, normal is like 250 at the bottom base. Like, now I know that. Right. Before I was just listening to the guy because I trusted my doctor. And horse crap, every day.
Okay. Okay. So because I've interviewed lots of doctors. My podcast is on hiatus. But I interview a lot of doctors in the testosterone space. Mm-hmm. And what they tell me is that the normal range recently got dropped.
Yes.
The high normal was 1100. Now it's 960. Mm-hmm. And the low normal was in the 300. Now it's 250.
Yeah.
So how they calculate the normal lab values is the average of unhealthy men. and 20 or 30 years ago, the high normal was 1500.
Yeah.
Yep. And so it keeps on going down. And my primary care doctor and I have argued about this. When I first got on it, he said, you're going to get cancer. Your balls are going to drop. Your dick's going to fall off. You're going to get heart disease. There's actually a recent study just came out, a very good study of 2,500 patients with a control group that had a placebo, everything negative on the heart disease, negative on the blood pressure, negative on the prostate cancer. The only thing that they found was that it elevates your RBCs, which you get a phlebotomy every once in a while. I get a phlebotomy about two or three times a year. Therapy phlebotomy.
Can you tell me what that is? I don't know.
Giving blood,
just giving blood.
Giving blood. You go down to Red Cross or wherever.
Okay.
And you give blood if you're hematocrit. That's the one because they worry about it being too dense, the blood being too dense and causing strokes. That's the only thing. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Okay. So it's not a big deal. But
I have a question on that. Real quick on the other thing is
I'm not a physician,
right?
So just consult with your appropriate healthcare professional before you start anything.
Yeah, exactly. And, before you start anything,
disclaimers.
We all have different. We all respond differently to different things, and you're responsible for your own shit. That's a disclaimer.
That's a great disclaimer. You're responsible for your own shit. There you go.
Yeah, we're just a bunch of guys talking shit and just asking questions.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Did you take the estrogen blocker? Are you taking that as well? No, okay. No, because we aren't either. I have friends that are taking it, but they haven't prescribed that for me, and I don't know how I feel about it. If you need it,
there's a lot. I actually one of my podcasts I did with a guy who's an androgen expert, and he talks about there's cardiac issues with taking estrogen blockers.
Okay.
And there is a ratio that your body is genetically preset between your testosterone and estrogen levels. Mm-hmm. If you fuck with that, then other things, bad things happen. So, So expect your estrogen to go up if you're taking testosterone, but it's a preset level. Okay. So
that's interesting.
That's what he told me. Yeah, he's a Scott Howell, really smart guy. Mm-hmm. Just off the fucking chart smart. Used to be a bodybuilder, and now he's androgen expert. He actually helped write the United States World Powerlifting Association paper on transgenders.
Oh, wow.
And and he pretty much got it all. He explained it very easily. And he not only that, but he had like all the data and the science and things like that. And he actually knows the science really well.
Oh man, that's good. Yeah, I'll have to listen to that podcast. I got already queued up to listen to your podcast because that's really fascinating.
Well, I mean, I know we're getting close to time here, but I wanted to talk about some of your personal, your vices, because I was like looking through your bio again, and I know you love good cigars and your fine liquor. So what's your cigar of choice and your liquor of choice?
Right now, and I've been smoking them for about a year now, is a Leaf.
Okay.
And it's actually rolled in a leaf. And you, oh, wow. when you get it, you take it out of the leaf and things like that. And my wife likes it because it has a band on it that's soaked in agave, and you can actually smoke. You can actually smoke the band, and it gives off a nice agave scent.
Interesting.
It's the only, I think as far as I know, it's the only band I've encountered that you can actually smoke the band. A lot of times I'll slide it down so it's closer to the end, so it's not quite so close. And then I'll have if I want a quick 30 minute cigar, then I usually smoke a nub. I used to smoke a lot of Gurkhas. I used to smoke those are kind of the big things. Ashtons. Those would have been my cigars in the past.
Mike, when we went to that place, Mike, that cigar bar downtown, and you got that with that scotch, what was that cigar you got us again?
Opus X.
Opus X. Opus X.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a fancy one.
Yeah.
that's a fancy one.
I like them. The quartz too. What is it? Oh my God. I keep thinking Mont Blanc, but that's the pen. It's not. It's
Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo. Yeah, there you go. Monte Cristo quartz. Oh my God, my brain was just like,
you're smoking Mont Blanc. Yeah, I know about it.
Yeah, it's the Monte Cristo. Yeah, yeah. Now I think of the sandwich at Bennigan's.
Yeah.
time to go eat. But I enjoy those. And then Brad, I turned on to the acid cigars a while back. He liked those.
I just really keep going back to Old Faithful there with those. I love the 20-minute smoker blondes. They're great. Yeah. They're perfect. You know, so if I just want to sit outside for a little bit, because Florida, I don't know about where you're at, but in
Vegas.
Vegas. But, I was just in Vegas, just last month, I believe. And for my wedding anniversary, we flew into Vegas. But it's hot as shit in Florida. Mm. So smoking a cigar, during the summer, even in the evening, is still, if you're not getting sweating to death, you're getting ate to death by mosquitoes. So, totally different heat too. You have humidity down here, which we didn't have any of that in Vegas, which was great, by the way.
Yeah. I generally don't smoke. Probably in about another week or so, it's going to get cool enough to smoke outside. I go to a cigar bar. And
man, I'll tell you what, it was hot as hell last month in Vegas. I couldn't believe how hot it was. It was extremely hot, and then we went into Death Valley, and that was the hottest I've ever been in my life in California.
Oh yeah,
that was an interesting.
Why it's called Death Valley?
Yeah, I know. And then they were. Shocker. I mean, you know, you're in trouble when you drive into the place. Listen to this, horse. When you drive into the place, and the sign says "You can die," like right as you're going into it, and I went, "Wait, you chose this for our wedding anniversary? I think you're setting me up for something." You know, to the wife,
make sure life insurance policies are all good, ready to go.
Yeah, she was like, "Remember those flowers you weren't getting me every other week? Yeah, welcome to Death Valley." But as far as like liquors, you were talking about scotch. So scotch is your drink of choice.
In the winter, I'm kind of a seasonal drinker. In the summer, I like vodka. I drink Tito's. I used to drink Absolut until they came out with that fucking map. Oh, remember that controversy? Why don't these companies realize? Just
stay out of it.
Yeah, when you go woke, you lose half your business.
Yeah, just stay out of it. Stay out of it.
Stay out of it.
Just cater to everybody. Just say nothing and cater to everybody.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Bud Light, I don't think you've ever recovered. No. You know, I can't remember who else. There's like, Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
Harley Davidson.
Oh, yeah, they fucked
dying.
Up.
Dying. And so.
It's like you said, once if you, you know, you start like mixing your business with politics, it just it's a matter of time before it backlashes in your face. Yeah, I've always been against that.
I think the problem is they get caught up because that segment is so vocal on social media. They seem like they have a huge presence in the marketplace.
Yeah, but they don't.
But they don't. They're such a small segment. So companies are like, oh, we need to capture this market because it's up and coming. Because they have a marketer that just, you know, talking in their ear like a millennial, and then they do, and it ruins their brand. And the thing is they never had to get into the conversation to begin with. They could have just stayed out of it and been fine.
Yeah.
Just stay away from the conversations as a business. I mean, it's tragic that they're getting so, you know, involved when they could just stay out of it and just stick true to their product and their core of what they're supposed to be providing, not, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I see. It's Sylvester Stallone is starting a coffee shop chain to rival Starbucks.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, I think Starbucks is crap. I mean, I think they have a great business model, but I think it's crap. And a crap coffee. I mean, there's so much better coffee out there. They sell an experience. You know, it's the whole thing. That whole model is an interesting model to follow because it's nothing but an experience. You know, you get to feel special.
Yeah. Well, Oris, before we cut out, you know, I just want to, how does anybody Dr. find Oris. Your podcast? Can you tell us how our listeners can find yours?
Yeah. It's Old Guy Talks to Me is my podcast. It's on hiatus. It's been on hiatus for a while because right now I'm focusing on my coaching business. Mm-hmm. And if you want to reach out to me for my coaching business, go to Oris at the standard.academy. And that's where you can find me. I have a one-on-one program where I help men work with men one-on-one. And, there's also, we talked about earlier, if you want to give your listeners the URL to my on-demand video series,
absolutely.
You know, give that to your readers, and that way they can access the on-demand, 7-week, program with exercises. And also one of the things I've done is that most of the time people, when they do these programs by themselves, they drop out. The finish rate is pathetically low. And so what I've done is, in order to support people, is that every day you get a email with a video from me.
Awesome.
To keep you on track. So I want you to be, you know, change comes most of the time with consistent daily action and in small steps. Very rarely do you get significant change by one grandiose move. It's usually small, consistent daily actions that will produce the results that you're looking for. And you guys know that from having lost so much weight.
Yeah,
right.
You know, you don't say, I just lost 50 pounds today. No, it doesn't happen that way.
Nope. Not at all.
Consistent daily actions. And a lot of times people don't have the endurance and the stamina to follow through. And that's sad because then they just end up stuck in the same place they used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, man, that's a great, we work. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for coming on to the show today. And then what we'll do is we'll put your link up onto our website for the listeners and anybody who's interested into getting on some one-on-one coaching with you. I think it would be amazing. You're a great guy. We really appreciate it. I'd love to have you back on again down the road.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Yeah. And so, Mike, you got anything last?
Go ahead. I can get on and lie some more too.
That's okay. We do that every day.
It's 24. Nobody really fact checks anybody anymore.
Yeah. Who checks the fact checkers?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, Mike, you got any last words or Orster?
I just really appreciate you taking your time to come on here and just talk to us. And it was a good time, and I look forward to doing it again.
Okay. Looking forward to it. You enjoy what you take care.
All right.
And until next time.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, don't forget, head over to thedailybm.com where you can follow us on all of our socials. You can also get 20% off just by simply using the promo code DAILYBM at masondangerbeardco.com. And Mikey, got any last words before we get out of here, brother?
Hey, everybody have a great day. And remember, you can always get an inflatable dick if you need it.
That's right. An inflatable dick. All right. And we'll see you guys on the flip side.
Have a good one.
Deuces.